preparations continue for Friday's historic meeting between North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and South Korean President Moon Jae-in. It will be just the third ever meeting between the leaders of the two Koreas and the first since 2007. In fact, Kim will be the first North Korean leader to cross the border into South Korea since the end of fighting in the Korean War in 1953. Technically, that war never ended because there was just an armistice, not a peace treaty. The two men will meet in the South Korean border village of Panmunjom. Besides the Korean War, the North's nuclear program is the other big issue hanging over the meeting. And Will Ripley is CNN international correspondent. He joins us from Seoul. Will, thanks for coming in.
Hey, Eric. Pleasure to be with you.
Will, set the stage for us a little bit for Friday's meeting between Kim and South Korea's President Moon Jae-in. Expectations are pretty high on both sides, yeah?
Certainly the optics of this are going to be extraordinary, Erica. To see the leader of North Korea, Kim Jong-un, walking across the military demarcation line at Panmunjom for the first time in history, an image that we expect to be broadcast live around the world, although probably not inside North Korea, where obviously there are 25 million people who will be greatly affected by the outcome of this, but we know that they tightly control their media. We don't know what they're going to see, but we do know that if the outcome of the summit is positive, they'll get their government spin. The rest of us will be watching and waiting for updates to see how things go. Obviously, South Korea's progressive government, they want this summit to go well. They want to tee up a summit between Kim Jong-un and President Trump. Its basic sole purpose is to try to set the stage for the upcoming summit with President Trump, even though we don't know a date or location or even if it's going to happen yet, although all signs are it's a pretty good chance.
Will, as you mentioned, we're not sure how the North will cover this. Is the South, are they going to run live excerpts, live coverage at all? What do we know?
We've been told by South Korea's Blue House that they will be showing key moments live, and then we'll be getting updates from the press pool throughout the day. And obviously, the ultimate goal of South Korea's President Moon Jae-in is a peace treaty with North Korea to formally end the Korean War, because as you mentioned, that armistice agreement has been in place since 1953. But in order for that to happen, there need to be discussions and there really needs to be an agreement between the United States and South Korea and North Korea. So that's why this summit is historic and hugely important. But really, the most important meeting is going to happen between President Trump and Kim Jong-un.
And it's setting the stage for that meeting. North Korea has pursued nuclear armed missiles for decades, Will, and diplomatic efforts to stop that in the past have failed. Is there any reason the world should be less skeptical this time around when we're looking at denuclearization?
I think the world should absolutely be skeptical, and the key here is going to be verification. The agreed framework in 1994 that was negotiated with the Clinton administration, that fell apart, yes, in part because North Korea was secretly enriching uranium, and it wasn't telling the world about it. But it also fell apart because the United States was late on heavy fuel shipments that were promised, and two light water reactors were never built. Also, there was no formal end of the Korean War, which was greatly disappointing to the North Koreans. So there's a real lack of trust on both sides, the United States and North Korea, going into this that they need to overcome. And the key, according to a lot of analysts I've been speaking with, is that the steps North Korea takes have to be able to be verified. So we'll get a good sense what Kim Jong-un is willing to do. I mean, he did say that he's going to continue this freeze on missile launches. He vowed to shut down the nuclear test site at Punggye-ri, although there have been some questions about whether that test site is still viable after the massive nuclear test last year that triggered a 6.3 magnitude earthquake. And it's widely believed that it triggered a secondary earthquake that might have collapsed some of those tunnels. So how much of a concession is this? Really, it's more symbolic than anything else at this point, because it wouldn't cost North Korea much money to restart nuclear tests at Punggye-ri or perhaps another test site that we don't even know about. We don't know where they have their nuclear weapons hidden. So the real factor here is going to be, is North Korea willing to destroy a significant amount of nuclear weapons? Are they willing to shut down major facilities like the Yongbyon reactor? If they're willing to take those steps, that could be acceptable to start the process of normalizing relations with North Korea, perhaps opening up the country economically and diplomatically. And there's the potential, there's great potential for a good change for the people who live in North Korea. But there's also real potential that this could all fall apart and we could go back to square one and they could go back to developing their nuclear program.
And you mentioned the North suspension of nuclear tests. Speaking of other symbolic moves, the South halted its anti-North Korean propaganda broadcasts. I mean, did the North follow suit? And is that significant or just more symbolism to help set up the meeting?
I mean, this is something that the two sides have been doing, and it's really, if you think about it, when you go to the demilitarized zone, you'll hear, you know, military music and announcements kind of blaring over from the north side. And if you're on the north side, you can hear K-pop music, news headlines, playing from the south side. It's almost like the two sides taunting each other. So they shut those speakers off. You know, those speakers, those are intended largely for the soldiers stationed along the border, encouraging them to defect. And we have had some really high profile defections. I mean, one thing that's significant about the fact that Kim Jong-un is meeting in the Peace House at Panmunjom, I mean, he will be standing footsteps away from where that North Korean soldier made that dramatic escape across the border and survived multiple gunshot wounds. He was seriously injured, of course. But, you know, the fact that Kim Jong-un will be in that same location, the fact that he even agreed to go there, it shows that perhaps the North Koreans are really serious this time around, or at least serious about making it look like they're serious.
CNN international correspondent Will Ripley speaking with us from Seoul, setting up the historic North and South Korea meeting this Friday. Will, thanks very much.
Thanks, Eric.